Good morning, everybody. Please have your seat. And thank you for coming to church today. Always a wonderful time when we gather together physically. And so I welcome you to church this morning. I welcome those who are joining us online as well. Thank you for being a part of today's service. It's always a good time when, you know, we do this. Hallelujah. Help me just greet your neighbor from a distance, you know. Hallelujah. Say hi. You're welcome in the name of the Lord. How was your week? Amen. So we'll continue this morning with the series we started, Faith in Adversity. Faith in Adversity. And before I go on, I'll just do a little recap. You know, for the past three Sundays when we started, Pastor Yinka had taken us through quite a number of things that we must, you know, have at the back of our hearts as we continue in the series. In the very first message, he talked about adversity. I talked about something significant that he mentioned that we needed to understand, that we needed to embrace and agree with, is that adversity is a normal aspect of the human experience. Adversity is a normal aspect of the human experience. Every man in this world will go through a form of adversity or the other. The shape may be different, the size may be different. What might be an adversity to me might be a normal or a norm to someone else. But adversity is a normal aspect of the human experience. He said in the human life, it seems life is in cycles. Cycles, hallelujah. That is, life is presented in cycles where we have the prosperity stage, the adversity stage, and the restoration. And it seems like it just keeps going on and on like that. Having taken a study from the book of Job, hallelujah. Adversity is a part of life. He went on to talk about David, Zechariah, you know, took a study of different people. I titled it Real People, Real Problem. You know, I just admonish and advise us that we go to the church website and get these messages and listen to them again. Amen. Hallelujah. And today we'll continue what I titled, Not the End. Not the End. Hallelujah. That is to say, adversity is not the end of that situation or the end of life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you say, that you have spoken to us. And I pray that as they go forward, your children will hear you. They will embrace your truth. And they will allow it guard their hearts to make informed decisions and keep standing tall and confident in who you have made them and in the things that you have said concerning them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. Just quickly read that portion of scripture. Just a text. I'll quickly run through from verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment, So entering into a sheep of Gostan, sorry, entering into a sheep of Adramitium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go see his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidos, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmon. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening towards the southwest and northwest and winter." Verse 13, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose called Euroclidon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the citrus sand, they struck sail. And so we're driven." Verse 18, "And because we were exceedingly tempest tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." Hallelujah. This is a story of how Paul, had been held a prisoner, was to go to Jerusalem for trial and all that. And as they went on, he perceived that something was going to happen. He announced to the man in charge, but the man decided not to pay attention to his words. Like part of the thing Pastor Inka said, that sometimes your adversity comes because of your own doing. Amen. However, adversities are real and they are true. And Bible records in verse 20 that it got to a point where all hope that they will be saved was lost. Hallelujah. The truth about life is that adversity is not palatable. Especially when it is on, adversity is not palatable. Adversity would most likely pose several questions to you as it is going on. Questions like, what is happening? You want to ask the question, you want to find out, you really want to know what is going wrong. Questions like, why is this happening to me? I'm sure some of us are easily identifiable with the statement, why me? God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why me? A preacher once said, why not you? Hallelujah. Amen. Questions like, how did I get here? I'm sure those guys, apart from Paul, have been wondering, how did we find ourselves in this kind of situation? I'm sure the man he told would have wondered, and this guy said it too. How did we get here? Did I cause it? How come this is happening? Why is this happening? Oh, God. Oh, God. Then we start leaking it to, the God side. Oh, God. Oh, God. Why is God allowing all this to happen? Is God in it at all? The biggest question that queries our faith comes up. God, are you sleeping? Where is God in all of this? Why will God allow this, all of this, or either of this, or any of this happen to me? I preach the gospel. I do this, I do that. You say, why God? Why God? Then the question begins to challenge our faith and the foundation of our trust in God. If God is really for me, why will he allow me pass through all of this? If God is really on my side, why will I have to go through all these challenges? It's not recorded what Paul's mindset was, but obviously towards the tail end, we see that his reliance in God was still stable. But for the simple, it's the foundation of his faith and his belief and trust in God is tested because the adversities are not appearing or seeming suitable to what he desires or what he expects in life. The more we yield to these questions, the likely that you arrive at the conclusion that the adversity you are faced with is going to be the end of situations. Like these guys saw that all hope to be saved was gone. Says they had not seen the sun and the moon for several days and the tempest continued. Say, this is the end. I'm sure if they were in these times, they would have probably done some tweeting, leaving some message on Facebook, leaving some message on WhatsApp to loved ones. My dear brother, my time of dying has finally come. If you see or have received this, the end has come. I'm dead. Amen. So is the way adversities come. When they come strongly, and when we entertain and embrace the questions that come up in our hearts, we are pushed to the point when it is as though all hope is expended. This thing can't, there's nothing good to come out of this thing anymore. I don't know what adversity you might be facing. I don't know what the challenge might be. I don't know how difficult it seems to you. But the truth is, every adversity that comes, the devil uses an opportunity to creep in and to thwart your thought pattern. Amen. The devil rides on the wings of adversity and tries to get you to the point where you are, you see the situation as hopeless. It comes in probably, says adversity extinguishes hope. There's no more hope in the situation. There's no more hope in the situation. The hope to aspire gradually fades out. The hope to improve gradually ends. The hope to live gradually dims out. The hope to succeed is thrown to the dustbin. Saying, I've tried many years. No more hope. Hallelujah. Hope is an expectation you have that something good is to come out. Hope is an expectation you have because of your trust in God. And the devil rides on the wings of adversity and gradually dims hope in your heart. The more you embrace those questions, where you're asking, where's God in all of this? The more you allow them, the more you do not take charge of the questions that are popping up and are querying the foundation of your faith, it gradually extinguishes hope in your heart. Adversity will ask the question, what will say that what God has said will not and cannot come to pass anymore. In the face of adversity, you look at the situation and you question it. One of the people that Pastor Inga talked about, Zachariah and Ananias, when God came back, when God sent an angel to them, your wife will be with child. The man was, sir, I'm old. My wife self is of age. Sir, what are you saying? Indirectly, what are you saying, sir? It's not normal, it's abnormal. When adversity is in there and we allow it to quench hope in our hearts, part of what he tells us is the things that God has said cannot come to pass. Amen. The things that God has said, has promised, will not come to pass. Adversity drags you to a dark dungeon of loneliness and being all alone. You may be in the company of people, but you choose you feel like you're in a dark dungeon. All by yourself. You are not ready to mingle. You are not ready to share it because you feel that you are the only one passing through it. Adversity makes you isolated from the bunch, and the devil will try to really, really push you to that point where you are standing alone and you become ineffective. The desires and the plans of God is gradually start or begins to extinguish in your life because it actually gets to you the point where you are isolated. I heard of a man of how he sat with his son and they talked, and the young chap was thinking of leaving church because he was going through certain things and all that. And the dad did not do so much. He just picked a coal out of a bunch of coal that was burning and put it aside, and they continued talking. Amen. At the end of their gist, you know, they just swayed away from it. At the end of their gist, the coal was dead while the others was burning. The young chap said his dad didn't need to say much more. because that was enough message. So what adversity does is that it pushes you to a point of isolation. Alone, lonely, you feel it all about you. They say something, you align it, get at you. They say it somehow, you align it like as if they are talking to you. Then gradually, you are separating yourself from the bunch. Anything anybody says, it seems it's all about you. And gradually, you are withdrawing yourself from the company of others. Gradually, you are locking your heart. You are locking your heart and your mind and your soul from people to penetrate. You just isolate yourself and feel so all by yourself. Forgetting that loneliness or being alone cures nothing. Adversity makes you feel that the solution is with you, since you are going through it by yourself. You say people don't understand. Yes, they may not understand, but the way the community of God is wired, the way God set up his church is that we prosper in community, not in isolation. All this adversity does, as we embrace it, as we embrace the effect, as we embrace the effect, as we allow the thoughts and the questions, the queries that gets to the foundation of your faith, and when it gets to a certain point, you say it is the end. There's nothing more to fight for. There's nothing more to struggle about. Why am I worrying myself over it? You've seen people giving up dreams because an adversity came to their life and they just said, that's the end. People have ended their lives because something happened to them. And they just, you know, gradually the questions came. Gradually the questions came and they started withdrawing to the point where it just says, there's no more. End it. There's no more hope. There's nothing more to fight for. Adversity pushes us to that point where we feel like everything should just end. But I'm here to announce to us this morning that adversity is not tantamount to failure. It is not tantamount to an end. It is not tantamount to disaster or abortion. Hallelujah. Adversity does not mean that. No matter how difficult, how bad, how terrible, how unpalatable the situation is, adversity is not, should not be equated to an end. Adversity should not have the last say. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 1. Let's see that scripture together. I'm sure that you might know it, because it's one of the scriptures that Pastor Inka read the first message he took. We're going to read it again and we'll see a number of things, then we close this morning. James chapter 1. Let me read from verse 1 to give perspective. James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Verse 2. My brethren, my brothers and sisters, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My brothers, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings patience. It says, well, let patience have its work so that you can be perfect, so that you can be complete, lacking nothing. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This scripture gives to us an idea that adversity is not the end of situations. It's not the end of it. It gives us hope in the midst of the trial. Saying, irrespective of what you are going through, count it all joy because something good can come out of it. Because through it, you can become better. You can be perfect. You can be complete. You can lack nothing. Adversity is an occasion that God can use to improve you. Adversity is an occasion that you should allow and use to be improved by God. Adversity has something to produce out of produce that will bring gains to you. Amen. Most of the time, the reason why people try or make an attempt to end it is because of a disposition that this adversity will not end. So they just close the chapter. But the scripture we just read here shows to us that no matter what adversity or trial it is, there is an occasion of being better for it. Amen. It means that as a child of God, you cannot end it. You cannot give up. You cannot afford to give up because of an adversity in your life. Whatever adversity it is, whether it's a loss of job, unfulfilled dreams, you want to say it's bad governance, the country is just messed up. Let's just end this country. Hallelujah. Let's sell Nigeria. Hallelujah. Pressures at work. Pressures at home. Say, at home, sir. Yeah, Paul said it. Those who seek to be married, we have, hallelujah, challenges. Loss of a loved one. Lack. Whatever it is, as a child of God, adversity, you cannot give up because of that adversity in your life. You have to face it knowing that there is something good to come from it. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Says, sir, it's too much. Says he falls seven times and rises again. Amen. Adversity should not have the final say concerning your situation. But you are to face it and keep hope alive and allow the word of God and allow the light of God, the word of God, shine through and bring the best out of the situation. Hallelujah. Three things to note that should help you when you're in the place of adversity. One, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 17 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Therefore, let your light so shine. John chapter 1 says, and light came into the world, and the darkness could not comprehend it. You are the light of the world, and therefore adversity cannot overcome your light. Recognize that you are light, that you have the light of God. God has lit you with his light, and therefore no challenge that you are going through, that you will go through, that is yet to come, that will still come, no matter how difficult or tight or terrible it might be, your light will shine. The light of God that is in you ought to shine, because no darkness can overcome it. Amen. Number two, you have God as the source of your strength. We are not ordinary people who do not have a source where we can, you know, power our strength to go through whatever situation or challenge of life. An ordinary man without God has strength only in himself and in his earthly knowledge. But the scripture poses to us how that there is a source or power that we have, that we have received. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 talks about how you receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes on you. You have power. God has delivered on you, upon you, the power that is able to go through the situation of life. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 admonishes, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It means it is possible that as a believer, you do not tap or make the best of the power of God that has been deposited in you. He says, be strong in the Lord. The believer is not ordinary. The believer has a source that is dynamic, more dynamic than any situation that adversity might bring upon him. You have the power of God available. Hallelujah. And number three is that he is with you and has spoken for you. Amen. That God is with you and he has said certain things about you that should keep you going. Remember, one of the things I said is how the devil tries to put in your head that the things that God has said about you will not come to pass. Amen. If we read the story, book of Acts chapter 27 further, it talks about how Paul at some point had to go and comfort them. Say, try and eat something. Don't worry, the Lord has told me that no life will be lost. Yet they were still afraid. They could not, you know, muster strength. He said, you need strength. Eat something. I guess by now they must have started believing the man a little because he had said something about the adversity earlier. They had started believing it, so they heard something. But God told Paul that there will be no loss of life. He said, but this boat, this ship will be lost. It doesn't matter what the adversity, what God has said concerning you. He has said it, then he will do it. The minister, the person who ministered in songs this morning said so much. The song she sang, you are the covenant keeping God. Yahweh, you are the covenant keeping God. You never leave me. You said you not forsake me. You walk beside me. The Lord is my helper. What has God said to you? What has God said that the adversity is attempting to quench? John chapter 14 verse 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you another comforter. God is with you. No matter what the adversity is, God is with you. What David or the The confidence that David had in facing Goliath, was that God was with him. Says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that attempts to defile the armies of God? When Saul questioned you about your small boy, he says, well, I might be small, but the God who was with me when I was fighting bears and lions, the same God will be with me to fight this one. I will go in the strength of God. God is with you. Says he will not leave you without a comforter. He will send another helper. John chapter 16 verse 33 says, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, there will be diverse situations. I don't know if you have experienced the biggest or the worst of your trials, but when they do come, be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. As he said it, that is what to hold on to. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Says they are thoughts of good. They are thoughts of peace and not thoughts of evil. Evil there could be replaced with calamity. That is how ISV puts it. They are not thoughts of calamity. Things that will bring you to calamity, but to give you an expected end. Expected death talks about a future and a hope. The thoughts God has towards you are thoughts of good. Amen. Adversity cannot have the final say in your situation. Adversity is not equal to failure for the believer. Because God has spoken for you. He has said, he stands by you and has said certain things about you. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Say, know this, that I will not leave you, neither will I forsake you. The Lord will stand by you at the deepest or the darkest, worst situation in your life. Don't end it. Don't close a chapter if God has not said close it. Adversity is there to lift you up. My sister read a scripture this morning, and I'll just read a portion about from there again, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Hear what God says to the man who looks to him. Verse 14. Of course, verse 1 to 13. Very wonderful, powerful things that we should hold on to. That we should allow keep us in the midst of our situations. Look at verse 14. He says, because he has set his love upon me. That is, because you have loved the Lord, you have believed into Christ, you have accepted God's saying. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What has God said? He has said this concerning you. Whatever adversity it is that may be in your life or that is yet to come, or that has come, he said, yet to come, sir. I reject it, sir. No, Jesus said in this world you have tribulations. Life is in cycles. Might be restored now. Enjoying prosperity now. And adversity, a wind of adversity might blow tomorrow. It's not prophesying. It's not wishing you bad. But when they come, the first way to rising above every adversity is to know. It can't have the last say. In this adversity, there is good. My hope will continue to stand and be in the Lord. Adversity cannot be the end of this situation or my situation. Adversity cannot have the last say. Amen. When Jesus slept in the boat and the storms blew and blew and blew, and the disciples were so afraid. I think KJV uses so afraid. They were terribly terrified, terribly afraid. They ran to him, "Master, Master, Master, do you not care that we perish?" If they had perished, then we would have said adversity has had the last say. But Jesus stood up and he spoke to the storm. Amen. Rise up in the strength that God gives. Rise up in the confidence of these three things that I've just said. You have the light of God. Darkness cannot overcome you. You have God as a supplier of your strength. It might seem like all strength is gone. It will give you the strength to take one more step. Then another step. Then another step. Till you drag yourself out of that dark place. And number three, he has said that he is with you, that he will not leave you, he will not forsake you. And he has spoken certain things concerning you that you must constantly keep in memory, irrespective of the challenge. I'll just round off this way. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Paul wrote to the Roman church that faced persecutions and all that. They faced it at that time. No, it's like rising up each day, not even sure whether you see the next day. Because if the Romans do decide to come after the church, they could pick on someone and that was the end of life. We see in the book of Acts how they picked James. Yeah, was it James? James. Yeah, James. And killed him. And the Bible says they rejoice and they praise Herod. Because of that, he caught Peter and put him in prison. You know, you're not sure. Such living in a situation where adversity, so to say, is normal. Not sure what it will be. So they could die at any time. In fact, living is dying. Everyone was set to die. A pig Peter was ready to kill him. It was a done deal. Peter is supposed to die the next morning. So that, you know, Herod will kill him so he will get more praise. Ha! Oh, live king of whoever and whatever. You know, so his head will swell. Paul will write the Roman church in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And he will say from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the prospering times, the adversity phase, the restoring times, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, this also called. Whom He called, this also justified. And whom He justified, this also glorified. New creation realities. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It does not mean that people will not be against you or situations will not confront you, but it's affirming, if God be for us, who is as great as He that is attempting to be against us? If God be for us, what situation is greater than the one who is for us? If God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You say, sir, you don't understand what I'm going through. If God could have His Son die for you, what is that situation you are going through that I cannot sort? If God be for us, who can be against us? If He could offer His Son to die for you, how much more? Why can't He freely do it? At the snap of a finger. Pastor, you don't get it. You don't get it. I don't need to get it. It's what God says we need to open our hearts to and allow to penetrate and cast away all the unbelief in our hearts, and not close the chapter of the situation, but allow God's word penetrate. Say, sir, it seems like it's taking time. Allow God's word penetrate. He says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, He is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says He makes intercession for us. Jesus is speaking on your behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he begins this list. Shall tribulation, adversity, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? What is that situation? What is that adverse situation? What is that distress? What is that peril? What is that turmoil? What is that unkind situation in your life that you think that will oh my God, that you think that should have a final say? Rather, you are allowing it to extinguish the lively hope of God on your inside. He says, what shall separate us? Says, yet in all these things, says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God loves you. You are more than conqueror. It says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All things work together, folks. That adversity should work together for your good. Look at it. Bible says, count it as joy. You know what it means when I say count it as joy? It's like an accountant who does posting of figures. You know, this is loss, loss, profit. Maybe. Either way, just write the one you want. Say, okay, this is profit, loss. It says, count that adversity as profit. It's like you are posting it. Don't post it to the negative. Post the positive. Do all your calculations, and when you sum it up, post it to the positive. Count it as joy. Count it as joy. All things work together for good. Count it as joy. If we have the opportunity many years to come in our lives, there are certain things we look back at. We say, oh God, I thank you I went through this. When Joseph was serving in Potiphar's house and things were looking good and rosy, he did not know that in years to come, God was taking that situation and he will use it for good. Possibly we should start from when his brother pulled him to slavery. Now that situation, God says, do your balance, post it as positive. Sir, my brothers sold me. Count it all joy. Then in Potiphar's house, it seems things started getting better. He probably started nursing some hope that maybe one day I will speak to my oga, Potiphar, sir. Can I go and see my dad? Then Potiphar's wife comes up with another devastating situation that brings an heavy adversity into his life. And God says, count it as joy. When you do the sum of it, it looks like a negative. He says, post it, post it, post it in the positive. Count it as joy. He did not know that God was going to use the situation while in prison to take him through how to manage in the time of lack. Because there was a bigger assignment. Whatever the situation is, he says, count it as joy. Next week, we'll look at how you need to act and react and all that while in a situation of adversity. So don't miss the service. We'll look at it. But when it faces you, the first thing is not, oh, my life is over. He says, no, count it as joy. When you have that attitude, it sets you to go through it and make the best out of it. Count it as joy. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Keep hope alive, folks. The hope that we have is living. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, we thank God who has begotten us into a lively hope. It's a living hope, a vibrant hope that we should not allow any adversity attempt to quench. It is living. The hope that we have in God is living. The hope that we have in Christ is living. It is vibrant. It is self-rejuvenating. It is alive. So adversity should not be enough to end it. Adversity is not equal to death. It is not equal to end. In every adversity, raise your head, look to the Lord, count it as joy. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. I just ask that you take a minute or two, you know, just talk to God. I don't know what that challenge is, what that situation is. Talk to God about it. James chapter 1, if you read further after verse 4, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, says, let him ask. Let him ask God, who freely gives wisdom. Say, I don't understand, I don't know how I will go through this. It says, count it as joy. Talk to God about it. You can't be specific. If you're not sure what to say, just say, God, I thank you. I trust you by faith that this works together for my good. I conclude and count this adversity in my life as joy. Because you are the God of my salvation. You are the one who keeps me and who has said will honor me. You are the one who honors me. You are the maker. You are the creator of my life. Even in death, we have victory. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord God Almighty. We praise your name, O God. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus. Our Father, we worship you. Everlasting God, I give you praise. I worship you. Thank you, God, for your word that has gone forth. I pray that your children will embrace the truth and we will begin to stand triumphantly as you have made them over every situation that is before them. Thank you, glorious God. In Jesus' name, we pray.